This is Fantasy Book Club.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Book Club. This is the Internet's Book Club, and just by listening, you're a member. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I am Sydney Lyerly.
And I will let you guys know to begin with, if you couldn't tell my intro, this is the earliest we've ever had to record.
Yeah, I actually think it is.
It's embarrassing because it's 8:30, so it's not that early, but we're college students. We were up late last night because it's the last day of finals today.
Yeah.
And so we were up late. You would think studying, but in reality, we were up late doing our last, go out with our friends night.
We don't study. We're comm majors. What do you mean?
Yeah, comm is, it's too easy for this crap. No, we don't study because all of our crap is assignments and all of, I think.
We're done. We were done already by that point when we went out with our friends, but.
Yep. Yeah. So this week, if you don't know, we read all of Enchanter.
Read the entire little book of Enchanter. It's very cute.
Is that too long?
Good story.
It's a good little story.
No. It's funny because I was reading it and I realized it's 200 some pages, but I have this little tiny book that has 50 words on a page, I swear. it's not really that long. But.
Sydney, tell them what to read next week.
Hold on, let me pull it up. I don't have it pulled up at the moment. Okay, next week, guys, guess what? We're starting, what's this book called?
Oathbringer.
We're starting Oathbringer, which is exciting. But you need to read the prologue, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
Can you do that for us?
Yeah, make sure you have those done for us, please.
Yeah.
And we will look forward to talking to you about that. But before we can get there, we have to get through Edgedancer. So you ready?
Oh, also, next week, Colt and I will no longer be together in person.
Oh, yeah, they'll be online recordings again.
Yay!
This should be better than last time we did online recordings because this time it... The system will work better, hopefully.
Yeah.
So be ready.
And we know we're doing more than last time.
Yes,
so.
Now we're professionals.
Are we? Are we really?
Actually, we should tell them. Now we're technically an award-winning podcast.
Yeah, it's actually funny. We don't know what.
We either got first or third in the category, but it's an award either way. We're an award-winning podcast.
You guys will find out more about that later when we find out, hopefully.
Yeah, we were let know that we had won something. We just don't know which position.
Yeah, Colton and I submitted our podcast to this award, and then I also submitted something else I did, and one of those two things got either first or third. I don't know which one was which.
But either way, we're award-winning, so you guys are currently listening to award-winning podcast Fantasy Book Club. Thank you very much. But today we're doing Edgedancer, and I'll get into it. So first is the prelude, which we told you to skip because you've read that. It was an interlude in Words of Radiance.
Yep.
But just to summarize, this little girl named Lyft, she has a friend whose name is Wendell.
Yep.
She can make things grow, and she can heal people. So she can make plants grow by using Stormlight.
Yeah. And she can also slide. Whee!
Oh, yeah. So it's called Regrowth is the one power. So it can heal others.
Yep.
Because all Radiants can heal themselves, but she can heal others, and she can become slick.
Yep.
Affect friction is the definition of it.
Yep.
And she is... She likes stealing food from the king, so she breaks in with a bunch of robbers. And
she's a big fiend for food, because she has to have it in order to, get... She is weird, because instead of getting Stormlight from spheres, she gets it from food. She makes her own.
She can, generate her own
Stormlight.
And
even, Wendell can't figure out why that is.
She also can touch Wendell, which is her friend.
Yeah.
Which she shouldn't be able to. So, he's like, you must be partially in the cognitive realm, or whatever. It's
Something's a little bit wonky with the way her Stormlight and stuff works, but...
She also, they break in. She's being chased by a man named Darkness, who we've talked about in the book plenty. A guy with a half moon on his cheek. We think he's one of the heralds, who is for some reason chasing her down and trying to murder her. She manages to avoid getting killed because Darkness follows the law. She heals the guy who becomes king, which is her friend Gox.
Yeah.
Gox pardons her, so she gets away from Darkness. Now we enter into the new book.
Yep.
It opens with Lyft in an open field.
It also opens with... Oh, you're talking about the drawing?
Oh, no.
I was talking about the little drawing here.
There is a very pretty drawing.
In the actual physical book.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
By the way, listener, I am doing this off of a digital copy I have pulled up on the computer, which is different than normal. So if you hear any of me of how do I turn the page? That's why that is the case. But there's a drawing here. It's of a giant network of cracks in the earth. Not the Shattered Plains. These ones look more intentional and are less expansive. You can see the other end from one end. And we'll learn more about that later. And in the bottom, you can see Lyft and Windle looking over the holes. But the first chapter starts with Lyft sprinting in an open field by herself and sliding around because she's trying to get elegant, like how Darkness had described. Like her people, like her, used to be able to be. So she's trying to slide on her feet, and she slams face first into a tree called a drop dead, which is a tree that falls over during the storm and then pulls itself back up by its springy roots. So basically, she just keeps trying, keeps falling, and during this time, Wendell, her friend, is being a whiny little idiot who keeps being like, "Why did you have to leave Azier? It was so nice in Azier."
He was very much enjoying getting to hang out in the palace, getting like food whenever they wanted, like just getting to like chill and do like whatever.
And Wendell also he loved. They had classes that she would skip sometimes, but Wendell would always go because he loved learning. That is my voice for Windows. What are you doing? Why?
No.
Very whiny.
Not the whiny voice.
But Liv basically feels like they gave her too much stuff and she wasn't allowed to like, basically they're going to ask for something. They should have given me less. They're going to ask for something. She also is reminded of her second oath. First one, of course, always life before death, serving for the weakness, before destination. Her second oath was, "I will remember those who have been forgotten."
Yeah.
And so she's thinking about that a little bit. And it's just trying to skid everywhere.
Yeah, she's not doing too hot.
Yeah. Wendell's saying, like, "You didn't even tell the emperor you're leaving." And Liv says, "I left him a note." And Wendell, "A note? You learned to write?" And she goes, "No, I ate his dinner right out from under the tray." They were, Gox will know what that means. I, by the way, Bluey and this have really made just like terrible little girls have grown on me as a character type. Muffin and her are just little rascals and they stick it. I love them both. Muffin, the dog from Bluey, funny. And Lyft, just little jerk rascal
Muffin,
children.
Muffin, though, also in Bluey, as she's gotten older, has grown. I feel like she's less annoying.
Oh, yeah. Early Muffin and Bluey is hard to forget.
Early Muffin and Bluey was the most annoying character. I was like, dude, what?
Now she's kind of a cutie.
Yeah.
But
it's a good, cute little show. If you guys haven't seen Bluey, go watch it.
Yeah, I love Bluey.
I love it.
I wrote a 61-page paper on Bluey.
Colton did, in fact, write a 61-page paper on Bluey.
For school, not just for fun.
that would be wild if it was just for funsies.
Wendell, we learn, gardened chairs from where Sven come from. Wendell gardened chairs because he would say they will. Does it tell how they do it? Oh yeah, they take the soles of the chairs and like grow them into like the shapes. So he's like, "I even had a throne." So he's a chair gardener.
He's pretty proud of his chair garden, and I love that. I love Wendell.
Wendell also mentions something. He says, "Is this about what happened to you? I don't know a lot about humans, but I believe it was natural. Disconcerting though it might appear, you aren't wounded." Hey, Sydney, do you have any guesses about what that is?
Not really. I kind of forgot that it happened.
Let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
But then Liv says, "The wrong things were changing. She was supposed to stay the same, and the world was supposed to change around her. She asked for that, hadn't she?"
Yeah.
So,
we know she went to the Night Watcher.
Yep.
Because she wanted to stay young and like stay unchanging.
Yes. So when Wendell says this, "What happened to you? I don't know a lot about humans, but I believe it was natural. Disconcerting though it might appear, you aren't wounded."
Oh, could be like she got her period.
She did indeed. And that for her makes her that's something that's also like kicked off her uncomfortableness is she's not supposed to age.
Yeah.
And the fact that she got her period means that she is aging.
She's aging.
So she is a little bit concerned by that. This is the first time I read this book several times. First time I've caught that where I've been like, oh. It's not gross or anything. It's just how life is.
Makes sense. Yeah. I didn't really think about it that hard. I noticed it. I was like, oh, I'm sure I'll find out what that means later. And then I didn't.
You piece it together later. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's the end of my chapter. She turns and she goes back into the woods away from the palace that she had left.
Yep.
Now it is your turn.
It is my turn. Chapter two.
Chapter two.
She's in this, now in this city, it's called Yadaw.
Well, she's not in it yet. She sees
it. She sees the city, but she's heading up to it and she's you know, just she's trying to figure out like how to get in, and she wants to basically like she doesn't really seem to have a reason at first as to why she's there, but we kind of figure out later that there is in fact a reason.
There's also a line of incoming like merchants or like incoming, what are they called, foreigners essentially, trying to
like,
get in.
There's the line that's trying to get in, and she is hungry because she's wasted all of her Stormlight, hasn't eaten in a while, and she needs food. And so she decides she's going to cut the line. And so she does, in fact, decide to cut the line, and she really wants pancakes because apparently during this time there's pancakes. Because
if you don't remember, this takes place like basically during the end of the last book.
Yes.
So it's the Weeping, and this city during the Weeping, they have, because Weeping is 10 days, they have like a tradition where they make 10 pancake types if she wants to try every single one.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
I would also.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I would also want to try, you know, every one. So.
Oh, who else is here?
Who else is here?
Yeah. She says, I'm going to try all the pancakes, assuming, I'll tell you, assuming darkness doesn't kill us.
Darkness is also here in the city, and that's basically the reason she's decided to come to the city.
Well, she says
more or less.
At the beginning, it's about that she mentions the pancakes, but it's pretty quick that she like also was kind of trying to follow darkness because he's killing, I forget the exact reason, but he's killing people who have been forgotten, like her, and her job is to remember those who have been forgotten. So she's trying to find and remember the people.
Yeah. And so basically she just is having a conversation with Wendell about, you know, the place they left behind, the fact that she's got power, the fact that she's hungry, and that she's going to cut this line because she thinks the guards will have food.
Yep.
And that's really the entire chapter.
Yep. And she cuts to the front.
Yeah. That's basically it. I'm done.
And then it comes to me. And in my chapter, there's a lady, it's a different perspective. I think this is the only chapter from a different perspective in the book. It's a lady.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a lady named Hauka, something like that. Which do we want to call it?
Hauka.
Hauka, who is like a city guard. She varies into following the rules. She's actually from the place that Lyft just came from, where like following the rules to a TR is very important. Yeah. So she's very into following the rules. And she is inspecting a man who is a farmer and has a bunch of grain, and she pretty quickly realizes that the grain is probably stolen or something along those lines. And so she goes inside and gets the permission to like basically do double tariffs on him.
Yeah.
You can bring the grain in, we need the grain, that's great. But because it's likely stolen grain, you're gonna pay double tariffs. And he has a moment where the guy's angry, but then he basically just like, sure, and agrees.
He realizes that it could be a lot worse. Dude could be like the whole thing could be seized. Like he could get arrested.
Right.
So he's really getting off easy.
And when she looks back in the back, the tarp is rustling, and it wasn't rustling before. She pulls it back, and there's a tiny girl, and the girl smiles at Hauka and goes, "This stuff tastes terrible." As she has a handful of grain in her mouth,
she's hilarious.
And the smuggler gets very angry, and it's like, do something, do something. And through a bunch of wacky hijinks, Lyft basically dumps the grain down into the Chasm City.
Yeah, and everyone down there, because there's people down there.
Poor people.
Yes, generally. Poor people down there who are like ecstatic, and they think it's from the gods.
And also it's noted the grain slides out easier than it should. Like it just like slides out like it's liquid, which is Lyft affecting the friction of the grain to make it slide better. And then the guard Hauka chases Lyft around. Lyft becomes slippery and slips through a window and falls on the pile of grain down below.
Yeah.
And survives because she's a radiant, so she can survive.
Yeah.
Before she does that though, she finds a pancake from the guards building. She gets a pancake and tries the first flavor of pancakes.
She gets her pancake after all.
And the chapter ends with Hauka being like, how am I ever going to explain this about the girl getting away?
Yeah.
And the grain falling.
Yeah.
And we move on.
We do move on. These like first few chapters are probably going to be pretty quick because
I think the entire book is pretty quick.
Yeah. There's not a lot of like details that are super crazy important, at least in these first chapters to go over. So
also, listener, these chapters tend to be shorter. We're doing 20 chapters this week, so we're gonna go pretty speedy because the flips in our normal book reading, the flips are the slowest part.
Yeah.
And since we're doing that 20 times, it's gonna slow us down. So we're gonna go speedy.
Yeah. Okay. Chapter 4. Lift is touching Wendell.
Oh, Sydney.
Basically, yeah. Like Colton said earlier, she can touch him, which is weird.
Yeah.
They don't know why that is, but she's using him as like a rope to like climb on or like hold on to as she's falling, which is kind of convenient for her.
Can I read you this?
Yeah.
The Voidbringer kept saying things like, "I don't have enough presence in this realm, even with our bond," and "You must be stuck partially in the cognitive." Gibberish, basically. Which I love the way that she thinks about her Voidbringer.
Yeah. But basically, she's on like a street where there's like these shanties that are basically like poor buildings.
It's like the slums.
Tarps and stuff. Yeah. Like, and she's just kind of hanging out down there. But all the grain that just spilled is already gone. They've already claimed it or it's just blown off into the wind. And she's just thinking about how she really enjoys being on the move. Like, this is the life that she likes the most.
Yeah.
Just being on the move, being out, you know, doing whatever. But she is, again, thinking about food because she always thinks about food. Even though she just ate, she still used up a lot of Stormlight. And so she's hungry still.
Yeah.
And she's thinking about trying to get food. And Wendell's like, "Why didn't you just wait in line?" Like, Wendell's a little bit frustrated with the fact that she eats all the time, which I guess is fair.
And also, Wendell's like, "I used to be respected. Now we're picking pockets." And Lift goes, "Oh, there's nothing in their pockets, I think." Which I love that she immediately is just like, "I'm picking pockets. Yeah, who cares?" I love Wendell.
Yeah. I also didn't mention in my last chapter that we find out that she didn't bring any of the money that she had with her, which was kind of a silly thing to do. But
here's another
another
little mention here. Wendell, in his constant whining, says, "Did you know we were considering bonding this nice cobbler man instead of you?"
Yeah.
Who is the man from another interlude that Darkness has already killed. So
poor man.
Poor man. He was very nice. He was a very nice cobbler man.
He was a very nice man. Oh, well, Wendell got stuck with Lift instead.
We love Lift. I love Lift.
We do love Lift. But Lift stole, when she was in the guard tower, stole like the guard book log, and she can't read it. She doesn't know what it is. She's like, "I bet I could sell this or trade this for food." And Wendell's like, "No one is going to buy that. Nobody cares when the guards got off duty. No one is going to buy that." And she's like, "Well,
and what'd you do with it?"
She like throws it and it whacks into a lady and a guard like starts running after her. And so she just,
The guard says, "Did you just assault that woman?" And Liv goes, "Barely," and then takes off running.
Yes. And she just takes off running.
That's funny.
So,
and it's my turn.
It is Colin's turn again.
We flip flop. This chapter is less than a page long. Lift is basically, she's on top of a shanty and she's puffing from apparently a long chase, and Window asks Lift why she hasn't. She's a traveler. "Why haven't you ever gone to the Reshi Isles? That's where you're from," because she's Reshi.
Yeah.
And so she shrugs and basically, it's, I don't know. It's basically because she says, "We left because people started to know who I am. If you stay in the same place too long, then people start to recognize you. The shopkeepers learn your name. They smile at you when you enter and already know what to get for you because they remember what you need." And Wendell's confused why that's a bad thing. And she says, "It's worse when they think that they're your friend, Gox. The viziers, they make assumptions. They think they know you. Then start to expect things of you. Then you have to be the person everyone thinks you are, not the person you actually are." So the real reason she's running from food and towards darkness is to avoid the responsibility of expectation.
Yeah. She also doesn't really know who she is.
Yeah.
And like that's mentioned in this chapter, she doesn't know who she is. And she's kind of trying to figure it out, but also trying to hide from it.
Yes. Hide from the responsibility of knowing, but also kind of discovering at the same time.
Yeah.
She leaves to go and try and find some urchins, she says.
Yeah. She doesn't find... chapter 6, my turn.
Yay!
She does, in fact, find some urchins. She finds a little girl who's, like, real dirty and speaks in a really weird language that was really hard to understand. Like, it's English, but, like, weird English.
Hey, wait, can we read it?
Yeah.
"Got a lungs?" the girl said. She was grimy. with hands that probably hadn't been washed since she'd gotten old enough to pick her own nose. She was missing a lot of teeth, too many for her age. The marm, she got a lungs good.
Got a lungs for smalls?
Got a lungs for smalls, the girl said to Lift, nodding. But got a snaps too. Bigger stone, that one, and eyes as swords. Don't like a smalls, but got a lungs for them. Real noggin that.
Maybe for outsider cares, Lift said. Like of the outsider, they got a light for her. Ifn't she given lungs for smalls?
Maybe, the girl said. Maybe that right, but it might be nuggin. But it's rack too. I say that, real rack.
Thanks, Lift said. Here. She gave the girl her handkerchief, as promised, in trade for the information.
The girl wrapped it around her head and gave Lift a gap-toothed grin. People like trading information in Tashik. It's kind of their thing. The grimy little girl paused. That light above, the lungs from the sky. I heard Loudon about it. Was it you outside, eh?
Yeah.
The girl turned as if to leave, then reconsidered and put her hand on Lift's arm. You, the girl said to Lift. Outsider?
Yeah.
You listening?
I'm listening.
People, they don't listen. She smiled at Lift again, then finally scuttled away.
That was such a cute little interaction, but also so hard to understand. I was reading and I was like, what on earth am I reading right now?
So apparently there's somebody in the marm who got a lungs for smalls, which I'm going to guess is got food because lungs from the sky was you.
Yeah.
So you got food for little children, smalls.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So she basically lifted gathering info.
Yeah. This place, they really like the trade for info, as we just read. So she traded the handkerchief for that information,
yeah,
which is fun.
They like trading, like, things. Trading info for things, or things for things, or info for info. Trading is their thing.
Yep. But they do also use spheres, but
yeah,
they can, if they don't have spheres, can also trade for info, which is pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah. So Liv starts to head out, and she finds out that, basically from this girl, she learned that there's an orphanage nearby where they hand out food to kids.
Who need it.
Yes, and because Lift looks like a child, she decides to go to the orphanage, and she does know that the lady who runs the orphanage is kind of a witch.
Yep.
She's pretty mean, and she gets there, and, like, she's told, sit here, the food's gonna come out later, you don't have anywhere to be, like, just sit and wait.
Well, it's a man who she describes as having a flat, wide face, like Lift learned to associate with people who weren't born quite the same as the other folk.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, two things about this book. One, they are never described as being wrong, just different, which I appreciate from them.
Yeah.
And second thing, Lift mentions she can heal people. She can't heal that, which I appreciate because it's not an injury. It's just different.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know. It's very, you know, politically correct, but it's also just, it's an interesting little thing, and I appreciate it because also Lift thinks about those people with extreme respect. Like people with, it's either Down syndrome or autism. I don't know which one. But
something like that.
She has extreme respect for them still because they're just people. People don't listen to them. And they're people. They deserve to be listened to.
Yeah.
I appreciate that from her.
So as she's sitting there, a mother brings this little boy and just leaves him. And
well, the boy has a massive scar on his head.
Yeah, massive scar on his head. And she just, he's like, doesn't really say anything. He seems like dumb, but I assume he's just kind of like in shock from whatever happened. And she just leaves him there at the door to the orphanage. And Wendell is like, what? Like, Wendell doesn't really know what to think. And Lift's like, well, I'm sure she probably has other children. Like, there's something obviously going on. She couldn't keep care of this kid anymore.
It wasn't even like, the woman was crying. She is very sad. This is not she hugs him before she leaves. This is not I don't want you. This is I can't keep you.
Yes. And so Lift, being the kind person that she is she mostly. She, I mean, I'm not wrong.
You're right, yeah.
She walks over to the boy and, like, gives him, a hug and, like, tries to comfort him. And is like, it's okay. And so the lady who runs the orphanage at this point walks out, sees Lift and the boy, and is like, She says, an idiot and an opportunist. And Lift is like, hey now, he's just hurt. And she's like, I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about you. and basically, we see this lady, and she takes the boy in, but makes Lift stay outside.
Well, she immediately also says, I can see through your deception to the boy. I can see through your deception. You won't last long here. Watch and see. Basically saying you're faking it, boy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And Lyft is like, wait, I want food. I need like somewhere to sleep. And the lady's like, you'll get 3 meals. That's all I'm giving you.
You can pick when you want them.
You can pick when you want them. You get 3. Any more, then you can't get any more. You're done. And you also, I'm not giving you a place to sleep. You can sleep on the benches outside if you want.
So she known as the Stump, and she seems like a real witch, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Her the lady's name is the Stump, or that's what people call her anyways. And she just is kind of a butthole. And yep. So she does get food, right? Yeah, yeah. She gets some kind of like bread that's kind of gross.
The flat-faced boy comes back and gives her some bread.
Yeah, and so she eats that, and she sits, like, as she's sitting and eating, this old man is there, and they have this, like, really strange conversation about...
What part of the city are you?
What body part are you? And Lyft is like, huh? And so she jokingly says a nose, and that's basically, they just have this weird conversation about that. It's strange, and then Lyft's like, okay, I'm leaving, I have things to do, and so she heads out.
The man also does tell her... there's a secret. The Stump has a little hobby. She's in the business of trading spheres, an exchanging business, so to speak. Find someone who wants to trade with her, and she will handsomely reward you. So basically, the Stump trades spheres. We don't know why, but she trades spheres.
Yep.
All right. And then, the chapter ends after the weird man asks his questions. It ends. Then it's chapter 7. And it opens with her being, like, worried about being late. You know?
Yeah.
Wendell doesn't know what she's doing either. Wendell's like, are you trying to find someone who trades spheres with the old woman? And Lyft says it's a scam. And it's a laundering scam, she says. She says, I doubt she makes enough money at the orphanage to like keep it open. So she's also like laundering money on the side to try and get more. Which is, it's a weird thing because Wendell's like, it's kind of a good person thing to do. Yep. And Lyft is also kind of convinced. She's like, it's good, but it's also not great.
Yes.
But instead what they're doing is she is following Hauka to try and figure out where she lives. And so she trails Hauka back to her home, which isn't a terrible home, but it's also definitely not like a nice place. It's just like a regular person home.
Yeah.
And then she just like camps out above one of the windows of Hauka's home.
Yep.
And tells Wendell to... Keep eyes on the door, and if anybody enters, wake her up and let her know. And then she goes to sleep. And then she wakes up. She's woken up by him later. And you were right. Darkness is here. He just walked in.
Yep.
And then Wendell is like, basically Wendell understands now why she's tracing Darkness. She says he kills people. The visitors have tracked him. He murders people that don't seem to be connected. The visitors are confused, but I'm not. He's hunting someone in the city, Wendell. Someone with powers, someone like me. And so Wendell finally realizes she is trying to find people like her. Mm-hmm. So she's using darkness. Honestly, a pretty smart tactic.
It is a pretty smart tactic. Also, she wants to try and save them from darkness.
Yeah.
It's not just because she, you know, mm-hmm. wants to, like, be like meet them. She also wants to save them because... they're like her. She doesn't feel listened to. Like, she feels non-existent, and so she wants to help them have a chance to survive and become something better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, I think.
Then she eavesdrops on Darkness, and apparently Darkness is a special operative of the Prince, which is a title given to him that's, like, a weird title, and how he got it, we don't really need to know, but it's not told.
Yeah, who knows?
Somehow he got the power to be that special. And we know it's not fake because his whole thing is following the law to a T. So we know it's real, but we don't know why it is. Then Hauka describes what she saw Lyft do to Darkness.
Yep.
And then Darkness is like, oh, I know who this is.
Yeah. Darkness knows.
And so Darkness starts leaving, and Widow's like, what do we do now? And she says, well, we follow him. And so Lyft takes off after Darkness as he goes wherever he's going.
Yeah.
End of my chapter.
All right. Chapter 8. Lyft is following Darkness, and she's kind of having a hard time. He's kind of hard to follow. But people also, when they see him, kind of like avoid him.
Yep.
Because Lyft's mentioned this before. He's got these really like dead eyes. And so I think people just are scared of him, which is fair, honestly.
Yeah.
Man's a creep. But she's following him, and she eventually gets to, like, this, like, they get to this market where there's, like, food and stuff, and she decides she's hungry, and so she steals a piece of fruit, and as she steals it, the shopkeeper is like, hey, and she thinks it's for her, but it's not. It's another, like, young woman who's grabbed a whole basket of fruit, bolts off, and runs towards Darkness. Darkness grabs her and just murders her through the gut with a sharp blade.
Well, no. He brings her back to the shopkeeper.
Well.
Then the shopkeeper, basically the girl out of fear of Darkness's eyes, swings a blade at Darkness.
Yeah.
And Darkness immediately stabs her with his sharp blade.
Yes.
And the man who caught, even the man who was, like, whose fruit was stolen.
Yeah.
Was like, I didn't want that. And Darkness says this. Basically, the guy says, couldn't you have, like, taken her hand off or something?
Yeah.
And Darkness says, the Darkness seems confused. He says, I've tried that. Where the law allows discretion in punishment. Removing a ham leads to a high rate of recidivism. As the thief is left unable to do most honest work and therefore must steal. In such a case, I could make crime worse instead of reducing it. Then he, like, for the first time shows kind of emotion where he's like, seems confused as to why anybody would have issue with what he did.
Yeah.
Because he's been alive for so long and he's crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely crazy.
And he worships.
He kind of has a point, but also
no.
Not a good enough point to murder someone. Like, I understand his point, but also no. Don't, no. There's not the way to go about that.
Definitely better systems. Taking off a hand is also pretty extreme for stealing fruit.
For sure. I agree.
Darkness is a crazy old, like, crazy ancient being who also worships law like it's a religion.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense why he would go insane to this point, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Darkness turns around and leaves, and at this point everyone's like really staying away from him. But Lyft, instead of immediately following, she goes up to the woman who's laying on the ground and tries to heal her. And Wendell's like, it's too late. Like, I know you healed Gox, but you'd have to have been quicker, like with a sharp blade.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to have been way quicker than you were with Gox. So she's dead. Like, there's no bringing her back, unfortunately.
By the way, I think this is why they've retconned the way that Zeth died, because this sentence, Gox wasn't slain by a sharp blade. Basically saying, but wait, so how'd they bring the other guy back? So Sanderson had to be like, well, he died from falling. Fine. He died when he hit the bottom, not from a sharp blade.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny, but I guess it makes sense.
Yep. But Lyft so decides to get up, and she continues to follow Darkness. She thinks about how she's going to remember the woman. Her name was Tika, is what her name was. We learned that because one of the people had said something about said her name at one point when they grabbed her.
She heard two other urchins taking bets on how long it would take Tika to get out.
Yeah.
And then Tika got stabbed.
Yeah. So Lyft is basically like, I'm going to remember you, Tika.
Yeah.
Because few others will, is what she says. And she's continuing to.
That's cute.
It's cute.
I love the different, like, responsibility of the of the shards.
Yeah.
So, like, Kaladin is just like, I'm going to. Anybody who if I find it right, I will protect them. I do not care. And this lady is like, I'm going to go find the people who are forgotten and I will remember them. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
I agree. Me too.
I'm excited to see Dalinar start bringing people together and stuff.
Yeah. And it'll be fun. And Renarin do whatever Renarin's doing.
Seeing things.
Yeah. And Shallan just
lying. Well, telling the truth. Her things are telling the truth, I guess. Deep, dark truths.
Yeah.
What would be your deep, dark truth, Sydney? Tell him right now on this podcast.
No! I don't even know what it would be, but still no.
Okay.
What's yours, Colton?
Let me think.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Oh, I can't think of anything actually deep. The first thing that came to my brain, this is genuine, is that green beans are my least favorite food. But it
nothing about that is deep and dark.
I don't think that's what my pattern was looking for, but...
So I don't think you would be able to be a light weaver. Sorry.
I could. I can't say this. Never mind. It's a spoiler. Sorry. Moving on.
Okay. Moving on. She is following Darkness. She's trailing Darkness, and they come to this bridge that she's gotta got to run across, and she does, but in the process, she loses darkness, and so the way she's able to find him again is she looks for where the people are acting strange, because people are, like, avoiding him and, like, staring at him and just, like, you know, doing weird things when they see him, and so she is able to find him again through that method, which is pretty smart. Lyft is a pretty smart girl, honestly.
She does the thing that some people do of pretending to be dumber than you are so people underestimate you.
Yes. Yeah. And so she catches up with him, and she's still trailing him, and they eventually get to this building that darkness goes into, and she's like, crap, I need to get in there. But this is a busy street, and I also just can't walk in. But I can't like climb up the wall because people are gonna see that. And so what she does instead is she makes the tree grow.
Yep.
Like so much so that it's covering a window, and she's able to climb up the side of the tree.
Yep.
Get into into the window that way, and people can't see her because the tree's blocking her way. And she opens the shutter. And with like her awesomeness is what she calls it with her stormlight. She opens the shutter, and she comes in, goes inside. There's an old man who's like supposed to be guarding, but is doing a terrible job of it.
Yeah,
man is like not. He's
kind of asleep
attention.
Even.
Yeah, and she goes down like this hallway towards like voices. She's hearing voices. She walks down the hallway, and she comes to like she sees like darkness's like jacket. She comes to a plate of food that's just sitting on the floor, which mm-hmm. is a weird spot for food to be. And she decides to start eating it because guess what? It's Darkness's breakfast. And Wendell is like, we really followed him all the way here just so you could eat his food.
Yep.
And she was like, yep, this is what we did. This feels great to just steal Darkness's food.
And then by the way, Wendell keeps accidentally giving Lyft hints that he can become a sword.
Yeah.
So Wendell says, oh, this is good. This is I'm okay with this. No swinging about of innocent bread or stabbing them into people. This is just stealing food.
Yeah.
So
Wendell doesn't really want to become a sword.
He's bad at keeping secrets about
but,
this.
But yeah, Wendell's not the best with secrets. And also he acts like he doesn't want to be a sword, which is kind of funny.
Wait, then there's a very good interaction at the end of this chapter. Can we, not a dramatic reading, but can we read what happens? Wendell goes, we should run.
Yeah.
Go found a farm. Like I said, leave him behind. Though he's likely tracking someone in the city, someone like us, someone who can't fight him, someone who he will murder before they even start to grasp their powers. Then they sit quietly for a second, and Lyft says,
so, guess we go spy on them, eh?
And Wendell, shockingly, is like, yeah. Which
Wendell doesn't really want to. But he knows that they need to.
I love that Wendell has talked himself into it.
Yeah.
He's like, he shouldn't do this. He's not after us. He's after someone who can't defend themselves. Oh, yeah, we should follow.
I really like Wendell.
Wendell's a pretty cool guy. We move on. Chapter 9. Wendell's like, just try not to, basically, he sees, basically thinks they're definitely going to die. But he says, try not to die violently. Try and die in a way that's fast. And it won't make me have to watch it.
Yeah.
Falling is pretty good, though it can make me messy. Like he's trying to figure out a way for her to die that would be more appealing than the other possibility.
Because he's worried about what's going to happen to him after she dies.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be traumatized because he really does care about Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And if she dies, dude's going to be traumatized.
Yeah.
Which is fair, I guess.
Darkness is in a room talking to Lyft sees two other people, and Darkness is basically scolding them for doing a bad job hunting. And he says, your excuses do not befit those who want to join our order. So do you know what the order is?
The order is called the Skybreakers.
And they follow, this guy's like the herald of the Skybreakers.
Yes.
They also like follow the law like God.
Yeah.
You must do everything within the law. Yep. You will be reprimanded otherwise.
I just think it's really ironic that they're hunting Radiance, but they themselves are Radiance.
There, it seems.
Well, he's not. He's a herald.
Yeah.
The rest of his group have the same powers Radiance have and are Radiance, and he just doesn't care.
It seems like it was said earlier. I don't know if you ever caught this. This seems like the Skybreakers never stopped making Radiance. They just kind of went into hiding.
Yeah.
It's kind of implied that later on that the Skybreakers have always been like somewhere in the world they're hiding, but there's like an order of just like Skybreakers continually being made.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting.
But they there's a man and a woman in this room, and they're like trying to figure out different ways to figure out who the Radiant is in this palace or in this kingdom. City. It's not a kingdom, it's a city.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the darkness is saying how it's okay to kill them, saying, Ishar made the truth clear to me. If the bonds between men and Sven are reignited, then men will naturally discover the greater power of the oaths. Without honor to regulate this, there's a small chance that what comes next will allow the Voidbringers to again make the jump between worlds. This will cause a desolation. So basically he's saying, what we're doing is for the greater good.
Yeah.
Because Ishar, whoever Ishar is, made it clear that a desolation will come if we don't stop it. And suddenly a voice from the corner, which Lyft did not see, says, you're wrong. You may be a god, but you're still wrong. That's my voice for him.
It's a great voice. Good job.
And it's the storming.
It's also a good line.
It's the storming assassin in white sitting in the corner. And when he moves, he leaves an after image behind that later catches up to him.
Yeah.
So now this dude, this is just, by the way, the main reason I bring this up is it's Zeth. It doesn't really matter the after image so much as far as we know so far.
Yeah.
But it does make quite a cool image for a movie. A man with a a man with a screaming, smoking black massive shard blade who also is leaving behind glowing reflections of where he has been.
Yep.
Imagine that scene, him fighting, and like imagine a giant fight scene where you see Zeth running through with a screaming, smoking shard blade as like versions of himself follow
is
behind
my
him.
Is Nightblood really a shard blade?
They're all going to call it that because
I know
it cuts through people the same way and stuff. So I guess so. Close enough.
Sure.
It instead of like cutting through soul, it eats them, but it's kind of close.
It's fine.
And then Darkus also reveals to them, basically Darkus is like, doesn't seem upset that Zeth is arguing with him, but he's just saying, a fluke. What you saw is a fluke. It's not going to happen worldwide. Like, he's trying to convince himself that it's not true.
Yeah, Darkness basically seems to believe that the Voidbringers haven't actually returned. That this storm that's blowing the wrong way with the red lightning isn't real.
It's a fluke.
Like, it's just something wild that happened. The Parshendi thing that happened.
Yeah.
It's not real. Like, none of it's real is basically what Darkness is claiming.
He's drinking gallons upon gallons of copium, it seems like. also, I love Zeth calls he's the Herald Nin or Ninha or whatever.
Or
bunch
Nail.
Of different names. Nail.
They also call him Nail.
There's a bunch of different names for this guy because it's kind of like how Jesus has different names across cultures.
Yeah.
He calls him Nin Sun God, which is funny because like he calls people something son their father's name.
Yeah.
And Nin's father is God. So Nin Sun God. Also,
makes sense, I guess.
Also, because he's no longer truthless, he is Zeth's son Naturo instead of Seth's son Valano.
Yeah.
Because when he was truthless, he didn't want to dishonor his father's name, so he would use his grandfather.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a neat little culture thing. But anyway. And the darkness basically reveals there's another Radiant in the city, which is Lyft, and says, she's mine. No one else can kill her. Which, okay. Then he sends them out to go do more research and find the other search partner in the city.
Yeah. We also, real quick, learn, it's mentioned at some point during this chapter, like, Darkness says something to them about, you need to say the words and bond with your spren.
Yeah.
So you can get a shard blade.
Right.
And I just think that's interesting that they haven't done that yet.
They are, it's the same thing that Kaladin's crew is happening. They are the crew of Darkness, and so they have supplementary powers from Darkness.
Yeah.
Like how Kaladin's crew is starting to be able to use Stormlight without their own spren.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Yep, that's the end of the chapter. Lyft leaves.
Yeah.
All right, chapter 10. She's back at the orphanage again. And
I got scared.
Because she's at the orphanage?
Yeah.
But she's back at the orphanage to get more food.
Yeah.
The stump is there and is like, this is your second meal. And Lyft's like, wait, what?
Also, the kids are outside playing in like the courtyard area.
Yeah, the kids are playing. There are people just sitting there watching them, which is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But also, that's all they really do with their lives. So, well, mm-hmm. It's maybe a little bit less weird. But she's just sitting there chatting about chatting with Wendell about what she saw and about how everything's changing, about how she asked the Night Watcher to not make things change. And she's just confused and scared, I think.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really know what's going on.
And she doesn't want to change. She wants to stay the same, and it's making her really scared that she's changing.
She does. She the little boy who was there before comes over and is asking about his mother. And he's like, I want to see my mom. Like, when is she coming back? And Lyft is like, she's not coming back.
Well, what he says is, mother come back when? Like, he's not speaking full sentences at all yet.
Yeah, not yet. But he can talk at least, more than he talked before. We find out his name is Mick. And he's, like, asking Lyft if they're friends. And Lyft's like, no. Like, you don't really want to be my friend. And her reasoning is because she makes people emperors. And I'm like,
my friends end up as emperors. And someone picks his nose for him. You don't want that.
Yeah, and Mick's just, like, sitting there with, like, no, like, just nothing. Like, monotone face, nothing.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. But they just have this conversation about, you know, what about, like, Mick and that he wants his mom. And the stump comes over and is like, what are you two doing? I know this kid's faking it. Like, he's making plans on how to rob me. And Lyft is like, no, we're not making plans on how to rob you, woman. Like, stop. This kid is not faking it. And they just, you know, have this whole little conversation.
From what we learn later, I can kind of understand how you would come to that conclusion.
Yes, from what we learn later.
But I'm not going to say what we learn now.
No.
Anyway.
It's funny.
The stump ends up looking like a real butthole in this book, but from what you learn later, it kind of makes sense.
Yes. But Lyft is sitting there, Mick leaves, and the creepy old man is still there, and they have another weird conversation again.
Her opening line is, hey, you still creepy old man?
Yeah.
And the man responds, and she basically just goes like, Yeah, you're so creepy, old man.
But she asks him, like, how do you know what to do? Because Lyft doesn't really know what to do now.
Everyone else knows the secret, but I don't know the secret to be human.
She's very, like, confused on what to do now that she, like, with the whole darkness thing. Like, she's confused. She doesn't know what to do. And they just have this conversation, and it's, again, just really weird. Very, very strange conversation.
But also, Lyft is, like, actually humoring his question now.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what I am. I'm not sure what part I am. And I like that she's trying to humor his, like, little philosophy question thing.
Yeah. He also asks her, like, he says, what will you make for this city, child? This is part of my question. Do you choose, or are you simply molded by the greater good? And are you, as a city, a district of grand palaces, or are you a slum unto yourself?
Yeah.
And Lyft doesn't really entirely know how to answer that question.
And Lyft says, I can't even be a slum because at least the slums know what they were built for.
Yeah. And that's the end of the chapter.
My chapter.
Your chapter. Also, I think we have a shout out to give.
Oh, who's
your fiance commented from seeing our reel. She just said, wow.
Oh, hi, fiance.
Oh, wait.
It's not for the right thing, but I'm still going to say hello to her.
Oh.
Hi, fiance. You're doing great.
It was from the post I made.
Yeah. Sees. If you like the reel is cool. It's just me saying numbers for a while. But my fiance also just tried to call me, so I had to message her and say, I'm recording right now. So I guess she's just on her phone at the moment and got bored.
Fair enough, honestly.
And Wendell then goes, I don't think you understand how this works. You don't seem to be trying to evolve our relationship. And Lyft doesn't seem to care about that. And Lyft says, basically, the only thing I know how to do is steal darkness, steal stuff. I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not built to do anything else.
Yeah.
And they say, she says, I'm here to steal Darkness's lunch. And Wendell says, didn't you already steal his food? And she said, not his food, his lunch. Meaning, I'm going to go steal the guy Darkness is trying to kill.
Yep.
I'm going to go protect them, steal them away before he can get to them. Yep. Which I appreciate. That's pretty cool.
I do appreciate that also.
Then she goes and meets with a woman who she's like trying to convince trade information with me.
Yeah.
And the woman is not a fan. But then the woman asks, is there a place that there's a bunch of information? And the woman just like turns and points to the giant library in the center of the city. And she goes, has that always been there? Oh. And then runs off towards the library.
Can I tell you something funny that I noticed while I was reading?
Yeah.
The library is called the Grand Idiqueum.
Yeah.
But every time Lyft thinks about it, the second word changes.
The Grand Inquisitation, the Grand Invisitor. Like, it changes to a different word.
It just changes every time, and I think that's really funny.
It is very funny. It's very on brand for her, to be honest.
For sure. I wanted to point that out as something that I noticed while I was reading. Good. I was like, oh, okay.
Anytime that you show how of an engaged reader you are, it makes me excited. Because these books kind of require that a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. You can read it with half a brain and still get everything that you need.
Yeah.
But I like all the little details, so I'm always like, did you catch that? Did you catch that, Sydney? Did you see?
And that's funny.
About half the time you caught it. But that's...
Well, sometimes it's hard because, like... there are certain details that you catch on after multiple readings.
Yes.
Like, that's the fun thing about books, and one of the things I love about books is... you can read them over and over again, and yes, you know the main plot line and what's going to happen.
Right.
But there are still details that you don't see the first time around because you're like, oh, the author was leading up to this. I didn't understand that at the time, but right. It makes sense now. Like, it's just fun to catch those details the second time around.
Some of them, though, like did you catch it thing, Sydney, is sometimes for you to catch the things I want you to have, you had to have started a puzzle that you didn't know you were collecting pieces for, like three chapters ago, start putting a puzzle together that is like, I didn't even know that was a piece to a puzzle. How was I supposed to know? So that's why I'm here to help you, Sydney, so you get as much of an experience out of this book as you're able to, or out of this series as you're able to.
Yeah.
Because my friends, actually, this is a different story. My friends think of me as the, like, I have a few friends who read these books, and I am just the most nerdy version of them as that. One of my friends, Marcus, he's my roommate, thinks of me as like the library of information. So if he has a question about these worlds, he can ask me, and most of the time I'll just
have
it.
That's funny. He also knows a lot.
He does. But he like his example of this is one time he said, well, Kaladin's only 19. And I went, well, technically Roshar years are slightly longer than Earth years. So he's closer to 21 if he lived here.
Yeah.
And he went, where'd you get that from? And I went, oh, I forget her name now, but this person's name. The character's name, wrote it at the beginning of this miniseries in the Arcanum Unbounded. Like, I had that memorized in my head.
That's funny.
Her name is Tift or Lift, or not Lift, Tift or Teft or something like that.
Not Teft either, probably.
I think it's Tift, actually. she's from the White Sand books. That's the only book in the whole Cosmere I haven't read is White Sands, because it's a graphic novel, and that's just not for me. And apparently he's making, like, a written version of the story, so you can just read it instead of doing the graphic novel. I just have to wait for it. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, chapter 12. Lyft is climbing up Wendell again, as she does. And there are farmers around who are, like, really confused as to what's happening because they're seeing her, and they're like, what the heck?
And she just, like, pops out on top of the plateaus, which is, like, their field area. And they're like, a child just arrived. Hello.
Yeah, she's very confused. She's trying to get to the library because she wants information to try and figure out if she knows people write down all the weird things that happen, and so she wants to try and figure out if she can see what, like, if there's someone around who's done weird things like she can do.
She says she's going to read every book in the Grand Inquisitor, whatever.
But she can't read. Wendell
is going to read every book in this thing and then tell her all the information. And he's just like, do you even understand how this works? Like, that's not a thing that's possible.
Yes. Like, that's not going to happen. And so what she you know, can't just walk in. I mean, she can, but, like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it won't get her enough information fast enough.
And so she decides what she's going to do is she's going to steal some important-looking clothes.
Next chapter! She has some important-looking clothes on. It happened off-chapter, off-screen. She has stolen the important-looking clothes.
Yeah.
And then she starts talking about the fact that she's friends of the Emperor. And people don't believe her. And they basically, the lady she's talking to is she calls her a fat lady, but it's a lady who is, like, supposed to help her find stuff, find information. And Lyft is trying to use the fact that she's friends with the Emperor to get herself into this position.
Yeah.
And the lady is saying, like, you're wasting my time. Don't stop bothering me. You're wasting my time. Lyft is trying to describe... Lyft is trying to get them to, like, span read to the Emperor to confirm her position, and they don't really believe her at all.
Yeah.
And she says, did you mug to get that clothing? And Lyft says, I wouldn't take it off someone while they're wearing it. I just found it. I forget. How did she actually get it? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't really know. Is it mentioned?
I don't know. And then she says to the woman, my void binger says you got tons of papers in here. We got to have a look around. Try to convince her to like span read to the emperor to like let her in.
Yeah.
And the woman just doesn't trust her, which is fair.
That is fair for sure.
And then the woman says, wait here, and then walks outside, and Lyft goes, how am I doing to Wendell? And it goes, terribly. And then she leads out to the towards the door and hears them talking about the fact that they figured out who she is and she's a criminal and are trying to like call for darkness to come get her, you know, or call for the guards to come get her.
Yeah.
And she panics. And Wendell says, oh, for cultivation's sake, you don't pay attention at all, do you? And then she uses Wendell to like shape the letters that she wants to write on the span read to the emperor.
Yeah.
And she writes them to the emperor. And then the guards come in and start trying to grab her. And while she's running around trying to grab her, the fat scribe goes, wait, and looks at the emperor and sees that Gox is writing like,
on the span read.
Like, yes, I know her. This is a friend of mine. You do what she says. I pardon her for any crime she did. I'll pay you back for anything she does. I pardon her. You need to help her, which I think is funny.
That is funny. I love her friendship with Gox, even from a distance.
Yes. End of chapter.
Well, actually, the scribe asks what she wants and Lyft's like, I want food.
Oh, yeah. And books. But and end of chapter.
Yes.
Realistically, end of chapter.
I know. I just thought it was funny.
Dingus. All right.
Hey. chapter 14. Lyft is like sitting at the scribe's desk. It's like 3 hours later and like they're looking through reports, looking through books. They're not finding anything.
Yeah.
Really.
Because something odd happening is such a specific request.
Yes.
And there's like somebody, a woman here. This is my favorite one. A woman here who says that the gods have blessed her son by giving him darker skin than either of the parents. Because it's whatever to help him withstand the storms better. And it's pretty clear that the wife cheated. That makes me laugh.
Yeah. And it's funny because Lyft makes them call her your pancakefulness. And
your pancakefulness.
Hilarious.
It's very funny.
It's so unimportant, the story, but I think it's really funny.
The woman says, he's right about that. And then Lyft goes, say it. And the woman goes, your pancakefulness.
It's just funny. But the scribe also mentions the chaos that's happening and the storm that's blowing the wrong way.
Yeah.
And Lyft's like, crap, it's really happening.
Yeah.
The desolations have actually returned.
Yeah.
Like, the Voidbringers are back. This is real.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's interesting. And they're talking about the storm, and they're just trying to find what Lyft is looking for, and they can't. They're having no luck, and while they're doing this, Lyft is having a conversation with Gox over the span read. And basically Gox is like, come home.
Yeah.
We want you to come back. I miss you. Like, we miss you. Everyone here misses you.
Mm-hmm.
Come back. And she's like, I don't know that I will.
Mm.
Like, she's not committing to coming back.
Right.
And Gox is like, we'll give you anything you want, I promise. And Lyft's like, yeah, that's the problem. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And the captain comes in at this point, and like the captain of the guard from earlier comes in, and they talk about the stump because Lyft has told them that she's doing like a money laundering scheme.
Yeah.
And so they discuss that, and the guard's like, yeah, you're right. The stump, that's true. The stump did do this. So that's just an interesting little thing.
Yeah.
That got brought up. And they're just, you know, having this conversation. The scribes are like, give us like 3 weeks. Like, 3 hours is not enough time for this. Give us three weeks. And Lyft is like, we don't have 3 weeks. Like,
not at all.
We need to have this done now.
ASAP.
And it's just, it's not working. And Wendell basically is like, you need to just pick one. Like, just pick one and hope we get lucky.
Yeah.
And Lyft's like, we can't do that. I can't just choose one.
Well, pick one except the one about the baby. I think that wife might have been unfaithful.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah. And Lyft is just like, I can't just choose one, because what are the chances I actually pick the right one?
Yeah.
And as she's discussing with Wendell what she's going to do, like someone comes in and is like, satisfies an emergency from the prince. We need to get to the storm shelters now. The storm is coming. The one that's coming the wrong way is coming. We need to hide now. And basically they give up on their search for Lyft. And Lyft's like, hey, wait a minute. But this is deemed more important. And so they give up on Lyft's search. And they all kind of run out of the room and start heading towards the storm shelters. And Lyft is kind of left alone with Wendell. And so she decides instead of... They tell her to go to the storm shelters. But she decides she's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes off on her own and starts walking around trying to kind of figure out where to go.
What's she
going
to do?
What's she going to do? And as she's walking around, Wendell's like, you know, this was a really smart thing to do. Do you think we're the only ones who would think to do this?
Yeah.
And they kind of realize that, Darkness's people also would have thought to do this. And so she turns around and heads back into the library. And that's the end of my chapter.
And then Wendell goes, they're also doing some work. And Wendell goes, huh, you don't suppose her investigation involved a bunch of scribes searching records, do you? That would be the smart thing to do. I mean, even we came up with it. And then they run off trying to find where they, run off back where they came to try and find where the darkness of scribes were working.
Yep.
And then she finds a fat scribe who basically says, was there somebody else doing the same thing? And the fat scribe gives her a room to go check. And so they take off towards that room, and the fat scribe says, like, they will have already evacuated. You're not going to find anybody in there.
Yeah.
But Lyft goes anywhere. And so they run, they find the space, and it's weird. Okay. So they find it. And they get in, and they are, I don't remember exactly what happens, and I'm panicking.
Yeah, so basically, Wendell decides he's going to, like, Zeth is standing outside the door, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, being, like, the guard. Wendell decides, because no one can see him, he's going to sneak under the door.
Yeah.
And go and listen and come back and report back.
You're right.
And so basically what he does is... He goes underneath. He does do that. Like, he sneaks past. He's terrified. Wendell is scared, but he does manage to sneak past.
Yes.
Zeth.
And then she's hiding in a dark, like, alleyway as the three of them start walking in the direction.
Yeah. Because they're done with their conversation.
And in the alleyway, Zeth stops at the very end and just stands there. And Wendell's like, oh gosh, I thought he saw us. I thought he saw us. He was going to kill us. But he didn't see us. So that was a win. It's actually a lie. We find out later that he did. But she tails him. She tails the three of them for a while, and then...
doesn't he... He does see her, and he walks towards her.
Yeah, but he doesn't actually, like, see... He doesn't talk to her at this point. Like,
he looks at her.
Basically, they... Well,
he has the sword.
Yeah. He seemed to have seen her. Oh, yeah. He opens the sword.
Yeah.
Then he closes it again.
Yeah.
Which means what he heard... He also is talking to no one.
Yeah. Who,
he also... What is he called the sword? Oh, Sword Navini.
Yeah.
He says, I do not know Sword Nimi. Nimi. That, and then he walks down the thing, opens the sword. What happens is, I think the sword, because they didn't run for it, means that they're pure of heart, like what happened in Warbreaker.
Yes.
And so he trusts that, and he takes off walking the other direction.
Yeah.
And they assume that he couldn't see them in the darkness, which it seems like he probably could.
Yeah.
Then she trails them for a while, and when they get to the door, she jumps out a window next to the door before they actually get there.
Yeah.
And then, they, as they are, like, sitting there, Zeth sees them. Wait, no.
You've skipped.
Sorry, I've skipped forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, my chapter ends with Zeth doing that sword thing.
Yeah.
Why did I think?
Lyft following them.
Yeah, what am I thinking? I'm sorry. My brain just must have just died in this chapter. I am too tired for this. That chapter was confusing. Here's what happened. Wendell went under the door, listened to what they were doing, came back, reported. They started trailing. Zeth seems to have seen them, opens the sword, closes the sword, chapter ends.
Yeah, basically.
I'm sorry. That was my worst ever in this whole podcast history, honestly.
It happens, you know?
Yeah, my brain just died. I don't know what happened.
That's funny.
We've been going for a minute. Look at the time on this thing.
I can't see it.
I'm telling the audience. Oh. Look at your phone. Look how long we've been going. We've been going for a minute. Actually, we'd be going for 64 minutes.
Solid. Okay.
So that's why I am like this, okay?
Chapter 16. wow, I almost called her Shallan. That's not her name. Lyft is following them, and she's having a hard time because suddenly, while she's following them, they start flying and they fly away, and she can't follow them while they're flying.
Yeah.
And the assassin in white doesn't follow them up when they start flying because he is like, I can't do that anymore. I'm done.
I
died.
Sorry. It's because the storm is coming. He says, I've danced this storm once before on the day I died. No. Which is funny. Yeah.
And so he refuses to fly after them.
Can we do a reading of this next part?
Yeah.
Okay. Here it goes. You're the one he's hunting for, aren't you? The assassin said softly.
Lyft winced. Then she stood up and peeked over the side of the landing where the assassin stood. He turned and looked at her. I ain't nobody, Lyft said.
He kills nobody.
And you don't?
I kill kings.
Which is totally better.
He narrowed his eyes at her, then squatted down, sheathed sword across his shoulders, with hands draped forward. No, it's not. I hear their screams, their demands, whenever I see shadow. They haunt me, scramble my mind, wishing to claim my sanity. I fear they've already won, that the man to whom you speak can no longer distinguish what is the voice of a mad raving and what is not.
Okay, Lyft said. But you didn't attack me.
No, the sword likes you.
Great. I like the sword too. She glanced at the sky. Do you know where they're going?
The report described a man who has been spotted vanishing by several people in the city. He will turn down an alleyway. Then it will be empty when someone else follows. People have claimed to see his face twisting to become the face of another. My companions believe he is what is called a lightweaver, and so must be stopped.
Is that legal?
Nind has procured an injunction from the prince, forbidding any use of surge biting in the city, save that specifically authorized. He studied Lyft. I believe the Herald's experience with you were what taught him to go straight to the top, rather than dancing around with local authorities.
Lyft traced the direction the other two had gone. The sky was darkening further, an ominous sign. He really is wrong, isn't he? Lyft said. That one you say is a herald. He says the Voidbringers aren't back. But they are.
The new storm reveals it, the assassin said. But who am I to say? I am mad. Then again, I think the herald is too. It makes me agree that my mind of men cannot be trusted, that we need something greater to follow, to guide, but not my stone. What good is seeking a greater law when that law can be the whims of a man either stupid or ruthless?
Okay, Lyft said. You can be crazy all you want. It's fine. I like crazy people. It's really funny when they lick walls and eat rocks and stuff. But before you start dancing, could you tell me where those other two are going?
You won't be able to outrun them.
So no harm in telling me, right?
The assassin smiled, though the emotion didn't seem to reach his eyes. The man who can vanish, this presumed lightweaver, is an old philosopher, well known in the immigrant quarters. He sits in a small amphitheater most days, talking to any who will listen. It's near
the Toshi's Light Orphanage. Storms, I should have guessed. He's almost as weird as you are.
Will you fight them, little Radiant? The assassin asked. You alone? Against two journeyman skybreakers, a herald waiting in the wings?
She glanced at Wendell. I don't know, but I have to go anyway, don't I?
Zeth is actually really cool.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of him.
He's crazy, but he is cool. I agree.
I was crazy once. They locked me in a rubber room with rats. The rats pressing me crazy. Anyway.
chapter 17.
Is it a me or you?
It's me.
It's a me.
Chapter 17?
It's a me.
You're right, it is.
It's a me, 17.
I didn't realize that was my chapter.
Yeah, sorry. We did a bunch of reading at the end. 17. Lyft engages her Optimus, and she's like, She glides to the city trying to find. I can't use that analogy. She flies to the city because there are people who literally can fly.
Yeah.
So she
that
glides.
That analogy doesn't work anymore.
Glides to the city as much as she can, but then she clips a corner and falls, and so she starts sprinting instead.
Yeah.
Even without her slickness, her stormlight makes her able to run very fast for very long.
Yep.
And she gets to the amphitheater and goes into the dark alleyway just beyond, and she finds a body.
No, she doesn't. We haven't gotten to that part yet.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, you're right. She sees the alleyway and says, do we go in? And Lift says, basically, I'm out of power. I use it all up running here. And then she hears somebody scream, what are you doing? And the stump is trying to get her to come in. You're supposed to go to the bunkers. Here, get in here. Which is, I appreciate the stump for that. And she, yeah, like, locks the door behind her with a wooden rod so that the storm hopefully won't blow it down. And all the kids are in there, like, kind of panicking a little bit.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah. And then she reveals to Wendell something. Wendell says, earlier in the day, she'd ask why you came here. What do you want? And Lift finally says, I want control. What I want is control. Not like a king or anything. I want to be able to control it a little, my life. I don't want to get shoved around by people or fate or whatever. I want it to be me who chooses. And that's, I like that.
Yeah.
Also, the boy with the scar is there. And the scar says, hey, I know you. You saw my mom, right? Did she say when she was coming back?
It's sad.
So the boy seems to be improving extremely, strangely fast.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the boy says, yeah, look, I don't belong here, right? I don't remember the last few weeks very well, but I mean, I'm not an orphan. I've got a mom. And that's something that's actually pretty interesting. And then the stump comes back in and she has children. She has pancakes and she hands a pancake to Lift. And she ate the pancake, but unfortunately it was the kind she'd already tried, but she still was her favorite. So she eats it.
Yeah.
And she's trying to convince herself she doesn't like the stump, but it seems like she kind of likes the stump.
Yeah. The stump's growing on her.
And then Lift, when the stump turns her back, Lift opens the door and goes back out into the storm.
Yes, because she realizes she's got to go after this man.
And now here's the chapter. This happens in every Brandon Sanderson book. Here's a chapter that it becomes a horror book for some reason for a little bit.
Yeah, this chapter is bizarre.
It's a little horror story.
All right, chapter 18.
Ooh.
So Lift walks outside, and mm-hmm. she goes into the alleyway. And she walks through the alleyway, and it's creepy, and it's scary, and it's very horror movie-esque.
Yep.
And as she's walking, she trips over a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a dead body of the men.
Well, at first she thinks it is. So she says,
but,
I will remember you.
And then she realizes it's not the guy. It is. There's two bodies, actually.
Yep.
And they're the bodies of Darkness's minions. And she's like, what the crap is happening?
And the walls are moving?
Yes. The walls are moving.
Like skittering.
Yeah. And she's like,
Because they're...
Okay. Weird. And then the walls, they're little like kremlings on the walls.
There's like basically hundreds of bugs skittering all around the walls.
And the walls start to form into a man.
Yeah.
And it's the old man, the creepy old man who's been sitting there. And he's forming from these bugs in the most horror movie-esque way ever. They like crawl into his eyeballs and make his eyes. And it's
the
really
bugs
weird.
Have like protrusions on their back that look like skin. And they lock together.
Yes.
And he has eyeballs in his eye. Like at one point, a bug crawls up to his eye. His eye pops out and it's the like back of a bug. The other bug skittles into the hole that it left. And then the first eye skitters back in.
Yeah.
Then later in the same thing, both of his eyes were tracked into his head and two bugs with light eyes appear and pop onto his face.
Yeah.
So he's a man made of thousands of bugs stacked on top of each other, making a man shape.
It's so bizarre. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was absolutely not this.
Yeah.
Ever, for any reason. But he calls her like a little radiant and she asks who he is. And he's like, he says, you needn't fear me. Your war is my war and has been for millennia. Agent Radiance named me friend and ally before everything went wrong. What wonderful days those were before the last desolation. Days of honor, now gone, long gone.
You killed these people, Lift says. And he says, what does he say?
He says, in defense, though I guess that's a lie because they couldn't have killed me anyways.
Mm.
But they were going to. They were going to try to.
They're going to try to, so.
Yeah, so I killed them. And they just have this conversation about Darkness a little bit and like just, you know, who he is and that he's just... Well, a crazy man.
There's also a sentence here I love. You did not come for a contest, did you? We watched the others. We as in the bugs.
Yeah.
He's speaking of him as plural now because there's so many bugs. We watched the others. The assassin, who is?
Zeth.
The surgeon.
Which would be Kaladin.
The liar.
Which would be Shallan.
The high prince.
Obviously Dalinar.
But not you. The others all ignore you. And that, I hazard to predict, is a mistake. So he is watching, like, the others, like, he says, there are other versions of whatever he is around, yeah, and they're watching all the others, but no one's watching you. And I think that's a mistake. And that's really, I don't know, it's weird.
It's interesting, yeah. But they just, you know, converse about Darkness and his plans and like what is going on. Lot of things they talk about. And they just, you know, she's trying to figure out who Darkness is actually after, because clearly it wasn't this man.
Yes.
Darkness is still after a Radiant.
Yes. And Darkness would have known about this man, by the way.
Yeah.
But side thing, one, he is made of hundreds of bugs, and he says, I can breed them to be whatever I need.
Yep.
If I need more hearing, I'll breed more with better hearing. If I need more, whatever. Yep. So, and I think that's so freaky and cool. Second thing, he calls himself a Sleepless. His kind are called Sleepless because he's a giant horde of like bugs that all can think the same thoughts.
Yeah.
It's a hive mind of bugs. And he says, I'm never asleep. Not all of me, at least. So always has some bugs asleep. So this is this for future reference. If anyone mentions in any of these books that you're reading, Sydney, the Sleepless, you know, it's freaky little bug monster.
The bug man's. But the guy basically is like, all right, we'll trade. Now I will give you hints as to who it is and you'll figure it out. Okay. And Lyft's like, but I don't have anything interesting to like tell you. Like, I don't know anything. And he basically asks, why are you here? Like, what, like, who are you? Like, all these kind of like difficult to answer questions. And they just have like, Lyft just is trying to work through this. She's trying to figure out like who she is, how she makes decisions. Like, it's hard, and she's really struggling. And we also find out this guy's name is Arklo, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Well,
a little
this thing's name is Arklo.
Well, this thing's name is Arklo, but just interesting. And as they're talking, Lyft realizes that she wasn't the one who healed that boy. That boy who's been healing, she didn't do it. The stump has been doing it without realizing she's doing it, which is why she always thinks that they're faking it.
Anybody who doesn't have a birth defect is faking it.
Is faking it. But they're not. She just doesn't realize that she's actually healing them.
So her laundering scheme is also, why do these storming spheres keep going out?
Yes.
I need light for my house, so I'll trade for lesser ones to get light.
Yep.
But she accidentally keeps using the storm light. Yep. And
Yeah. And so she just, Lyft realizes, crap, the stump is a Radiant. That's who Darkness is after. And so the Sleepless creature is like, okay, yeah, we'll talk later. I will see you again.
He says, like Nail, I am not one to leave tasks unfinished.
And then he leaves, and Lyft starts running and heads off.
Lyft runs to the house, the orphanage. And when she gets there, she finds the door has been cut open.
Yep.
By what appears to be a sharp blade. And so she runs in, and she can heal. She can hear Darkness walking across the room up top, like walking, trying to find Stump.
Yep.
And she screams, Darkness, the one they call Nin or Nail, Naku the Judge, I'm here. It's me, the one you tried and failed to kill. And you can hear, she hears the footsteps stop upstairs and then turn around and start going back towards the stairs.
Yeah.
And he comes down and says, I am surprised to see you accept judgment. I had thought you wanted to remain in presumed safety. And then they have this like sort of fight thing where she just keeps running back and forth trying to like basically distract him for long enough.
Yeah, she's trying to wear him out until he runs out of Stormlight.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a smart idea, but also she runs the risk of running out of Stormlight, but she gets it differently, so she could try and steal some food and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't work for him.
But yeah, she keeps doing like laps through the kitchen essentially and grabbing food and then running back. And and then the way that when she tries to slip past him one more time, he's guarding a door that he assumes she would try to go like a certain way. And as she slides past, instead of trying to grab her or anything, he stabs a knife through her coat into the wood below.
Yep.
And you can't slip if you're stabbed down.
Yep.
So the tack basically holds her tight.
Yep.
And then but he summons his sharp blade in his hand, but before he could hit her with it, something went smack and Darkness grunted. And there's Stump holding a giant plank of wood who had just swung it and whacked Darkness in the back of the head. And she goes, leave my kids alone, you monster. And she is all soaked wet because where she was when darkness appeared is she was up top taking her spheres to the roof to recharge in the sudden storm that they didn't expect.
Yeah.
And then he stabs the stump, not with her blade, but with the knife to make her bleed out on the floor slowly, saying, "You can fix her. Come to me. You can heal her. I'm right. She's right there."
That's terrible.
She doesn't know how to heal herself yet. She really knows how to use her powers. You could heal her. And basically is trying to debate.
Everything about that makes me hate this man even more.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. And then Wendell says, she says, "I don't know what to do." And Wendell says, "Say the words." And she says, "I've said them in my heart, but what good would they do?" Which is so funny. Too few people. I want to find the actual words, but she runs and darkness says, "You're leaving her to die." And then she runs up onto the roof with the storm, you know?
Yeah.
And darkness follows her up there. And then darkness starts to swing down at her.
Yeah.
And suddenly a giant rod appears in her hand.
And it's Wendell.
Wendell forms as a rod rather than a sword.
Can you think funny? When Wendell and Darkness's sharp blade collide, Wendell says, "Ow." And I think that's
in her head. He goes, "Ow." And then she says her words. What are her words?
"I will listen to those who have been ignored." Those are her words.
She is now a edge dancer of the third level.
Yep.
She has gone life before death. What is the second one? I will remember those who have been forgotten. Listen to those who have been ignored. For some reason, every time someone says the words, my body gets all like super emotional and excited for them. Imagine the scene in the movie. You need to make it dramatic when they say the words and then like a thunder and then the Stormfather's voice always goes, "The words have been accepted."
Yeah.
Because that's what he says.
Yeah.
She then says something. "I listened to you, Darkness." She did her oath, even to the guy she hates most.
Yeah.
"I listened to you, Darkness. You don't believe it's happening. Look around you."
Yep.
It's happening. And Darkness suddenly figures it out. Holy crap, you're right. Like, because she did her job, her oath, listening to who's been ignored, which is him in this case.
Yeah.
She's able to make him finally understand, "Oh, crap, it's back. I need to do something." Mm-hmm. And then he flies off into the storm.
Yep.
And she runs down and heals the stump.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, I will protect even those I hate as so long as it's right is a great third ideal. The ideal system is so fun to me. I love them and it like shows the character so well. She now cares about everybody. That's her job, is to care about those no one else does.
Yeah.
Love that. That's so cool. Anyway.
Yep. All right. Chapter 20. Last one. Let's go.
Let's get it. Get it.
So Lyft is talking with Wendell about the fact that Wendell doesn't have to be a traditional sword if he doesn't want to be. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, he can be a rod. It's like how Syl became a Syl spear.
Yeah. And the stump is like feeding Lyft pancakes and like just being like a nicer people and or nicer people, nicer person.
And she discovers how many pancakes are there actually.
There are actually only 9. Which is a little bit disappointing for Lyft, but
very whatever. Disappointing for Lyft.
And she basically tells the stump, "You've been healing the children. Like, you can do this thing." And so Stump is finally starting to understand, like, what is happening. She understands that she started seeing, like, a spren. She's finally starting to understand why these, like, things are happening, why it seems like the kids are always faking it. Like, you know, she's finally getting this understanding. And she's just, you know, becoming a nicer person, which is pretty cool.
I love when people become nice people.
Yeah. And she just has this little conversation with the stump about what's happening. And a short time later, a like scribe like comes in and knocks on the door and steps into the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just they're talking about all the chaos that's happened after the storm. The storm's finally over. They're talking about all the crazy things that have happened like since the storm, and
right.
They're talking about Gox because Gox still really wants she wants to make sure Lyft is okay and wants Lyft to come back mm-hmm. to the palace, and you know, they just have a conversation. You know, nothing really crazy happens, to be honest. This book kind of is ending, and you know, they just kind of
They're wrapping up.
Yeah, they're wrapping up everything. They're conversing, you know, and basically Lyf decides, okay, it's time for me to go. I'm going back to the palace. And so she heads out and starts headed back towards the palace. And she tells Wendell, the book ends by saying, you know, Wendell, it's strange, but I'm starting to think you might not be a Voidbringer after all. And that's the end of the book.
Oh, that's funny.
All done.
All right. That was a good book. Sydney, we got to go quick. You ready?
Yes.
It's time to
rank the characters.
Woo!
Okay. This week, there are not many characters, so we're just going to go in order and tell you them.
Yep.
Top of the list, pretty easy. Lyf, Wendell, love them. Hauka, she's super sweet. The Stump.
The guard, yeah.
The Stump ended up being pretty nice.
Yeah.
Mick, because he's a cute guy. Zeth, because he's cool. Nightblade, because they're connected to Zeth. Then there's Geta and Nisiquan. They're just kind of like people who are there. Rez and Yanagon, same deal, just kind of there. Arklow is near the bottom of the living tier because we don't want him dead, but
he's
creepy and weird.
Yeah, very horror movie-esque.
This is our one hot take. Darkness is at the very bottom of living tier.
Yeah.
We don't want him dead because he seems to have finally pieced together his craziness.
Yes.
And like kind of grown.
I feel kind of bad for him because.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He was doing bad things, but he thought he was doing them for a good reason.
Yes.
But now he's realized that he was actually being an idiot.
Yes.
So.
And then in the dead tier, we got Tiqua.
Yep. And that's entire list.
That's our entire list. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, what are they reading, Sydney?
Next week, we are reading... Nope, that's the wrong thing. Right here. Okay. Next week, we are reading... we're starting Oathbringer, which is really exciting.
Yep.
We're reading the prologue, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
So make sure you have those read before you show up, or I will scream and cry. So make sure you have
them
read.
That's an interesting one. Wait, I will scream and cry, or you will scream and cry?
I will scream and cry.
So I'm not doing anything to them this week.
This week is just—it's an off week for you.
Okay.
This is a vacation for you.
Okay.
Get used to it.
Cool. Get used to it.
I'm going to be screaming and crying though.
Okay.
Yeah. So make sure you have those read. I'd also like to say thank you to Alezia for making the intro and the outro to this program. That is Alezia on Spotify. I appreciate you for doing that for us, buddy. Is there anything else we need to say before we get out of here?
Nope. I think that's everything. We love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. I love you.
Hey.
Why are you still here? The show is over.